Well, it'll only take a few minutes.
I know, you say that, but it'll take more than a few minutes.
If it doesn't take a few minutes, we'll do an up or down vote.
Don't we vote so like this?
So I observe that there is a quorum here. Well, thank you. Consisting of...
There's no checks for the rest of us?
What?
So there's no checks for the rest of us?
Yeah, right.
No, they're right.
We're running over the bar after this.
Recording isn't on yet, is it?
Yes, it is.
Please come closer. We don't bite.
Someone supply me with the time, please.
No idea.
It's 7:05.
7:05. Okay, at 7:05, calling the meeting to order. There are five commissioners present: Lee Bossman, Jack McKay, Oliver Tunda, Angela D. Scott, and myself, Greg Guthries. The first item that I deem has been meets the test for introduction at an informal meeting, that the two tests are that if be time sensitive, that if we delay, there will be much loss. And secondly, if it's consequential, is a request from MPNA that BNC send a very brief statement to ABRA that this ANC supports the opening of alcohol licensing in Mount Pleasant an hour earlier during the run of the World Cup games. I'm looking for a second.
Also, I would just be a letter from the chair agreeing that we were happy to do all of these.
I won't write a letter without the support, so.
You have the support. I'm telling you, you don't need a resolution.
It's my preference to do it, Chair. Okay, so we have a motion moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Moved and seconded to do what?
To that this resolution be sent.
What resolution?
I just said it verbally. We can get the tape from the tape.
To open early for the World Cup.
I understand. What I want to know is what is the text of the resolution that we're voting on?
We've all had that for the week.
I haven't seen anything.
Well, you don't have to vote.
Yeah. Okay. Then seeing further discussion, all in favor, signify. Raise your hand. It passes 5-0 unanimously. The second resolution is to submit to ABRA another piece, which I hope have no controversy, which is a roll-up that I prepared of prior ANC resolutions. And with very few initial changes at the beginning, just to say that we hope they'll treat it as a new piece rather than continuation, and that they'll include recent events rather than closing the record as of several years ago. It has been sent to all the commissioners, may I ask to see if there's someone will second it?
Second.
Discussion is open.
Yeah, I really think this is unnecessary and unwarranted. The hearing tomorrow is going to be a status hearing only. Without the resolutions that were in place, I've cited all the resolutions that were cited in the court proceedings. There's nothing wrong with them as they stand. And I'll also compile the proof that they were sent and, in many cases, that they were received. I don't see any need to do anything for this time. I'll point out further that if those resolutions are in any way deficient, it would be in naming Don Juan's, but any resolution that doesn't come as a consequence of notification does not get great weight. So whether it means Don Juan's or not is irrelevant. If it doesn't get great weight, it is not responsive to notification.
Then
so this is, I think this is
let me answer this. Number one, it's not a waste of time after talking with Fred Masali and with Martha Jenkins. And I've written this all in emails that have been sent some time ago to everyone. that there's a very good chance that the ABC board will want to clarify a lot of issues tomorrow, and that this can move the thing very rapidly. If so, this may be our last chance to get something in on time. And I thank you for your work in compiling things. They provide a good core, but this includes much of other else otherwise. So my information from W. Simon is that many of the others need to be specifically cited for the case and for the agency in order to be given great weight, and this takes care of that. So I try to do my homework, and I believe that your points are based upon a misunderstanding. Dave.
For the people that really don't know what we're talking about, Don Juan's restaurant was given permission by the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, to have a very strange type of entertainment, karaoke only, and roving mariachis. So we wanted to open that up so they could have the same type of music that Hades and Don Jaime's were awarded, that they were originally three restaurants with the same petition, and for some reason the board singled out Don Juan's to treat differently, so we're trying to correct that.
One further note, just for general understanding, is that they did not include the ANC resolutions. And in fact, they claimed that they didn't get a lot of them, so they didn't even, they said that many of them even would not count. And the appeals court said that because they did not include all the resolutions and all the points, according to case law, they automatically remand this back. The problem is it took several years to get to this, and hopefully we'll be increasing that. So that's a little background and explanation. It's the first time that I know of that the ANC has actually fulfilled its legal right to push things forward. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, let me call for a vote. All in favor of the resolution? All opposed? It passes 4-1. Thank you very much. And now we can return to our regularly scheduled program. Dave, you've been suggesting that we do things in a different way. This is a small group. Perhaps you can make a suggestion. Let's give your approach a try.
The way you've been doing it with a little leeway seems to work.
My tent is to get more leeway when there's a smaller group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we have 60, it becomes very
different. People just introduce themselves, and if they have an issue or just a general comment for the first round.
Okay. Did I record the vote? It was 5-1. No, 4-1.
Okay.
Passed. Jack, was your hand up to
yes.
How we're going to do this? Otherwise,
then we have to start with introductions.
Let me start off with the introduction, and then I'm not going to say much other than that for this time. Cheap lady. No, never mind. I'm Greg Edwards, and I've been an activist in Mount Pleasant for a long time, particularly interested in the concerns of apartment dwellers and people living in eastern Mount Pleasant.
I'm Kristen.
And the reason that I want to do that, besides it's the usual way we do it so people can predict, is to give you guys a chance to see and
okay.
So that you can have a chance to think about that before it gets to you.
Angela Scott. I represent 1 New York 6. Which is, one of these gentlemen will tell you the boundaries of those streets because I never remember. Is it Harvard on what side?
Harvard on the north side.
On the north side.
Yes. Was that you?
Hello, Harvard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the north side, right?
16 Harvard.
Well.
And Hobart on the south side.
But even that would be on the south side.
It's about
blocks that way, one block to your right.
But it's on this side of Harbor Street.
I think it's on the other side.
Yes, because on the other side you're in Edgeport.
But that's okay.
No, you're welcome. It's on Near Heights.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Near Heights.
Which is ANC 1C. But you're welcome.
The middle of the street is split.
Okay.
Yes, no, you're okay. Right on the boat. Right?
This is nicer than nicer.
My name is Oliver Thunder. It's a commissioner 1D02. I represent the 02, which is from 16th Street to get to Park Street, Park Street, and west of Park Street.
It's mostly that one big apartment building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which really, by size, deserves two reps.
Oh, wow.
Jack McKay, ANC, whatever. The far west end, right up on here, against the property park.
Northwest.
Yeah, okay. Dave Bosserman, I have an area in the middle of all of this, Hobart to Lamont, and from 17th all the way to Kazoo. And I only have one issue, and I'll talk about it later, but I've been shocked recently, wandering around my part of the woods, to find out that there are third generation black families, homeowners, in my district who are losing their homes, and some have already, because of taxes.
I'm Jeff Garrett. I live at 1600 Harbor Gulf. I came here because I'm interested in community organizing and community development. It's my first meeting.
My name is Tariq Bolden. I'm the Board 181 platform at DC Office of Planning.
My name is Adam Howey. I'm a resident and the president of Mount Pleasant Main Street. Ad hocers tend to gravitate towards supporting local business, but we're open to any.
My name is Brett Little. I actually don't live here. I live down on U Street, but I'm a good friend of China's.
Hi everyone, I'm China's Little. Of course, I live in 75, right in 1900 Vermont, the capital of the
ocean.
My name is Kristen Pendergast, and I'm on 16th in Monroe, and I'm an environmental consultant. Outreach volunteer outreach coordinator for DC Greenworks. We're a Greenworks nonprofit, and we're running a program right now on H Street Northeast, and I'm considering doing some outreach for the Mount Pleasant community to see if it's something that business owners here might be interested in.
Good. We're just doing quick introductions at this point.
I'm Corinne Scott. I'm a long-time resident of Mount Pleasant area.
Glad to have you. Will folks allow me to do something a little different this time, and that is to ask Tariq to introduce what he thinks are some of the more potent ideas in the proposed plan. Not an analytic overview, but sort of what are the political points that where Mount Pleasant is going to get the most to gain.
All right, Tom.
And
sure.
Take about 5 minutes, and then we'll see how it goes. Then we can have some questions. We can go around the room for questions and comments. Does that sit with you?
I can do that.
Just the high points.
All right, so in essence, we've noticed, and we were brought to be noticed by the ANC and community residents, that there were some changes over the last few years along Mount Pleasant Street. That were somewhat having a deteriorating effect on the amount of revenue that was coming into the community. The businesses were finding out that their incomes were starting to shrink as there were a number of changes to the community. Based upon that premise, we then decided to work with the community to come up with a revitalization plan that would help not only revitalize the community, but also point it in a direction to increase it better than it's been in a long time. This area used to be one of the most bustling commercial active lot of people, have a number of community meetings, try to get as much input as possible to see what people would like to see in this community. Coupled that with a market study that was done. And based upon all of that information, we worked with and kind of came up with a number of recommendations that we felt would help spur the revitalization of the area. A lot of the information that we recommended is somewhat broad for a particular reason. One of the reasons is that we want to be able to make it as flexible as possible so as new opportunities come up, new funding sources, new innovative ways of doing things can come up, it can fit into this plan. The objective of the plan is that the plan would then go to council, become adopted as legislation, which enables us to move forward and try to push other agencies as well as we are mandated ourselves to try and implement these recommendations. That's the quick background. The goals of the plan revolve around five main recommendations. I'm not going to give you the exact wording, but one was to strengthen the existing businesses that are here. Two was to attract more consumers to the strip. Three was to create what we call a green street, which is, I'll get into that in more details in a second. Four was to increase the number of non-retail and trade uses on Mount Pleasant Street. And five was to help strengthen the corridor by increasing opportunities for people to buy their businesses. In essence, those five things were solved around. One, the businesses that are here are very unique, and they're unlike other places anywhere else in the
city. I'll give you time. I was distracted. I didn't get four and five.
I'm sorry. Four is increase the number of non-retail and creative businesses on Mount Pleasant Street. And five is to increase opportunities for existing businesses to buy the buildings that are there. If you want any more details, this, you can go to our website at www.planning.dc.gov. It's on the front page. It will be on the front page for a while. It's there on purpose to make sure that it's easy for everyone to navigate. But in essence, the core of the plan is saying we have some very unique businesses, we have some strong businesses that are, through no fault of their own, have some externalities that are causing the problems. How can we work with, and when I mean we, I don't just mean the district government, but the district government and the community and the ANC and local stakeholders get involved to help strengthen the existing businesses. The interesting thing, it came down to the recommendations that are part of those goals were broken down into actual kickoff actions that will happen within the next 12 months. Those kickoff actions are things that we feel that we have to do as soon as possible to start moving in. So part of for the first ones, some of the main recommendations are, we feel it's important that local residents shop on Mount Pleasant Street beyond. It has a certain core of users that are typically people who live right around the area, who have what we like to call their choice businesses. There are people who only go to Tonic, there are people who only go to Hades, there are people who only go to Heller's, but then they go somewhere else outside of the community for their shopping. We feel it's important that we not only bring everyone in the community to experience all that there is to offer here, but we also hope to increase that by letting them know what it is. But one of the things that we heard over and over again was that a lot of people don't really know what's on Mount Pleasant Street. They know what they're familiar with, and they haven't really ventured out to some of the other. I know I've spoken to people who just go to the Raven, get a couple of drinks, and then go home, but not realizing that there's a great restaurant right across the street from the Raven, you know, that you can get breakfast at those windows. Like, there's a lot of things that happen. We have cleaners, we have pharmacies, so that's part of it. The other thing that we want to do is, during the course of this process, we've bought three studios, college studios, the Urban Land Institute, and one other entity, I can't remember off the top of my head, to Mount Pleasant to just give a sense of what they felt. And each one of these groups talked about, I never knew this place was here. It's so unique. It's such a nice, it's real cute. They really like it. I can't get pupusas like this anywhere else in the city. Yet they had no idea that it was even here. and it was important to us. That kind of showed us that we have to work with trying to bring people to let them know the jewel that is Mount Pleasant, just giving people an opportunity to know that there is something of value here that would allow them to spend money and do other things. In order to have that happen, we're going to have to spruce the place up a little bit. There is going to be a need for...
Is this item three?
Yes, item three. Again, item three. So one of the things that we talked about is creating a green street. And what that means is there is a lot of opportunity with environmental sustainability and new streetscape additions that will not only help the larger picture of greening D.C., but it'll also give Mount Pleasant a very unique place. There are no commercial corridors that really have that designation yet. H Street was one of the first that are starting to do that. No one else is doing that. And we feel like that is a great opportunity to not only give the notoriety, but also an opportunity, because of the cultural aspect of Mount Pleasant, to feel like having a greener environment, having more trees, having something that gives people a better understanding. There's a lot of concrete upon concrete out there, and we feel like there's opportunities to break that up. Number four is part of the market study. One of the key elements that came out of the market study was that Mount Pleasant actually has the right mix of existing retail. The retail itself is somewhat duplicative and sometimes tripled, but we may need to change some of those stores, and not in the sense that some of those stores will come in and new stores will come in, but it's not in its best interest to add much more retail stores because it'll just start to compete. So if there's $10 going out and five goes here and five goes there, it may work. But if you have four stores and everybody's only getting $250, you start to create an environment where no one's doing very well. So one of the things, but there are a number of vacancies and there are a number of opportunities. And one of the things that came out was the idea that some of the most biggest catalysts for economic development on Mount Pleasant Street is places like the yoga studio, like the dentist's office, that are not necessarily retail. They're places that you go for a service that you may go two or three times a week. You're not necessarily buying a good, you're going there for a service. What we're finding is people will go to yoga studio at past tense, be there, and then pick something up on the way home that adds money to the economy. So we found things like daycare centers, potential medical offices. We've heard stories of post office used to be here that a lot of people draw. So we feel like it's important to work with getting those types of non-retail draws in the creative economy, with small office, things like two-man studios. No, I'm not talking about the good. Things like two-man architectural studios, web design guys, things that don't take a lot of space, don't need a lot of startup infrastructure, but they create a daytime economy, so somebody's buying lunch, people that come home from work can come by dinner. That way you kind of have a revolving amount of money being pumped into the community. And finally, we're well aware that rents are, in some cases, out of control for some of these spaces. A number of the retailers have expressed to us the issues that they're dealing with rising rents and not being able to sustain despite the fact that they're doing pretty. And one of the ways that we feel like we can help address that, and we looked at a business like Hades, who actually owns their building. And by allowing them, helping people to own their building, it gives them an opportunity to cap the amount of money they're going to be spending if you have a 30-year mortgage, what you pay is what you pay. And it gives an opportunity to stabilize the community so you don't have a lot of turnover in the businesses. So those are the five main goals that we're working with, and there are a number of small details within that that I'm glad to discuss. I can't do that part.
We have been joined by Heidi Vanegas and Mario Hollis of Hades Restaurant. You're welcome. Good to see you.
I apologize if I would
work. You did take 10 minutes.
I know, it was a lot.
No, you just let me do that for the next 7 minutes.
I'll remember.
Let me suggest that we start on discussing let's try to keep at least for a couple of rounds, 3 minutes as a target, and because we want to go for breadth before depth of ideas and reactions, questions, just to get them out there, and then we can come back and sort of start to develop issues and even completely new ideas. Because even the majestic might of three famous design University of Divine Studios may have missed.
Oh, no, I think it was just more.
Sure. Let me start with somebody that has put a large part of his volunteer life into these issues. And he is currently the president of Mount Pleasant Main Street. Welcome, Adam Hoy. Can you give us 3 minutes of a few points of wisdom?
I want to make you more listen.
You can what?
I said I came here to listen more than to speak.
Well, still, you shouldn't deprive us of your.
So what topics do you want to cover tonight regarding the
so far as I understand, please correct me. This is essentially the only time before that we will have for an informal meeting to discuss the Office of Planning's draft plan. And since it is a draft, it's open, I've been assured, it's open for revision.
Well, I mean, I think my time is short because I'd rather other people speak and sort of listen to what you have to say. But
let me start. Restart your 3 minutes.
Okay. So, no, I mean, in short, Main Street has, at various points, worked with the ANC on volunteer agreements issue and trying to make them more fair across all the businesses and to promote entertainment. And, you know, it's been a struggle, but, you know, we have made some progress, of course. And we worked on a process last year called the Responsible Hospitality Initiative. Greg also is very familiar with that process. And so, you know, the process, like OP, took several months. We had a lot of input from neighborhood groups, government organizations, stakeholders, and came to a final report, some final conclusions. So I think the goal of Main Street at this point would be to try to rekindle that project, take some of the findings and the action items that came out of that report, and to try to work with ANC and businesses to try to start that process up again. And one of the things, two of the points that came out of the study were, one was to have a forum where we bring all the neighborhood organizations together, including MP&A, here in Mount Pleasant, Always Mount Pleasant, Latino Association of Mount Pleasant Business Association, bring all these neighborhood groups together and have them each give a 15 to 20 minute presentation of what they do so that everyone kind of feels like they understand what everybody's goals are and how we can work together. And the second thing that came out of that meeting was, about that study, was to try to come up with a new set of agreements, which we call the Mount Pleasant Commercial Corridor Standards, and for us to come up with a new set of agreements that all of us can agree with on how to manage our local businesses. And you know, we would like to rekindle that and at some point try to get the city to kind of an average to stand behind that type of an agreement.
Very well done.
So yeah, so basically
you've had corporate training on how to target 3 minutes.
Well, the project kind of stalled out, and we would like to see it. But it has a lot of potential. ABRA certainly likes the Responsible Hospitality initiative. They, Fred Masali, would like to see us get started on that again. And, you know, Main Street is open to working with everyone to try to start that up again.
There are new people, and so let me suggest for the small group, we not wait to get to them, but immediately ask them to introduce themselves.
Good evening, my name is Bill Lopasso, Commissioner for 1D01.
Everybody else has been describing roughly where it is, because many people don't know where the commission districts are.
Well, ill-advised. My district is this northern portion of Vermont Street between 17th and 18th Street. That extends a block north and includes the 1700 block Park Road. And then it generally sort of jogs eastward up 16th and then borders Jackson, Collins, and then west.
I believe Kristen here is in your district. She said 16th and Monroe.
Which side? North or south?
North.
North. North. Then the south side is mine. So you're his. If you got complaints, call him.
Evelyn.
Evelyn goes through. I'm president of 3150 16th Street Residence. Same thing here. We're in Dr. Lovely.
My address, Paul, Irish restaurant.
Hey, my name is Lee.
Okay. So we're going around the room, and I'll come back to you if you want a moment to gather your thoughts. But my recollection is that Evelyn can speak, would win an extemporaneous speaking contest because she can deliver a polished presentation at the drop of a pen. Would you like to talk about your ideas of what we ought to do about the commercial corridor area?
Well, first of all, thank you for your compliment. But I'm a professional communicator, so I guess if I could speak in the problem, then I might need to look for another profession. But thank you, Minister.
Just pay big bucks to do this.
No, I don't care about that. When I think about the commercial corridor, I would like to see it embrace the total nature and culture of Mount Pleasant, which is just so many different things. I almost see it as the way Georgetown used to be in the 80s, where you walk down M Street in the Georgetown area and you find a shop owned by somebody from Pakistan. And across the street it was a Taekwondo, the place where they dojo, that they had that. And it was just a mix and a mesh of what the total community was. I don't want to see it going one way or the other. I want to represent everything. I think we have two really sort of like landmark institutions in the Mount Pleasant Street business corridor. And that's Haley's Restaurant to the south, and Helen's Bakery to the north. And I want to see those continue to be highlighted. I'm very dismayed when I go on the tourist website for D.C. and I don't see Mount Pleasant listed at all. It's just added for it. I don't see any of what we attract here. Now, I know we don't have a lot, but we should start with what we have and highlight those. So that's my view, is that it should represent the entire community. This, and the thing I love about Mount Pleasant, we have whites who have been here for many, many years. We have blacks who've been here, you know, 6, 7, 8, whatever number of years. We have Latinos and Hispanics. You know, we have Vietnamese. We have Africans. And we need to let all of our people participate and being a part of this community and not sacrifice one piece of it for another. And I'd like to see the business corridor offer opportunities, whether you're a big business or whether you're just an individual who's trying to get a business started, have that happen here on this corridor so that everyone has a piece of the American dream. Sorry, I'm really making that as a real.
Wow, within 2 seconds or 3 minutes, you are adjourned.
Mario. Alice. Generally people, we ask people to give their both names because studies show they're much more memorable that way.
Okay, my name is Mario Alas. I'm the owner of Friday's restaurant. I have two things that I will comment on. One first would be about responsible hospitality. As you know, we were one of the main proponents of responsible hospitality in the beginning, and we were eager to work like that because that was my idea, you know, the kind of idea that I had in the beginning, that we started working together. And often I came to the agency and proposed that, you know, proposed that we should work all together. So when I hear about responsible hospitality, I was sunshine and happy. But when I saw the report, I kind of like went back and I said, what is this? You know, when I saw a special organization, especially the organization that had fought us for a long time, took the upper hand. And now I'm kind of, you know, kind of confused about it. So we need to go back and revisit that issue because I don't feel comfortable anymore with, you know, in that part. I'm sure we have to work together, and I like that idea, but also we're not supposed to let one group itself take the control, because then we go back again to the same point we were 20 years ago, you know, that one group would control all the business and all that, and I think they haven't done a good job. So we need we as a business owner, we need a little bit of control on our business. Have a group that have no idea how to run a business, to run our business. And the other thing that I want to comment is, same goes to the business. We've been having study about ourselves. You know, in Mount Pleasant, as you see, all the business, you can't see, we can't promote the business. People passing by, they cannot see our signs, because the trees are covering all the signs. I don't know if it's a good idea that can do some kind of work to help us, help Mount Pleasant show their signs, show their business. We like the idea of trees, but it's hard for people who pass by to see our business. Thank you.
Well, I continue with Mario. I have the same problem with trees and tree baskets. We have some more pictures. We try to present it to Business Association, Main Street, and you can see some parents are 100 blocks too narrow for the people who use a wheelchair, bicycles, car strollers. I would like to get advice from yours. To see how we can remove those tree boxes, something is really needed.
Yeah.
And about the trees. Some area they have small trees, some really commercial area doesn't have a large tree to go in the business. When people drive, they say they don't see the signs, the address. And that's why we are here today. I thought the Main Street and the city can get a good idea to help us in that. To promote our signs, are not visible. And thank you.
No, excuse me, I did not remember your name.
Rhett.
What's your last name, Rhett?
But don't be UTTL.
Oh, you got really close to it, didn't you?
Very close.
Would you spell it for me?
B-U-T-T-L-E.
Buffalo? Thank you. You're up.
Oh, I don't have anything to say.
No.
I'll see you later.
Can we come back to you and you try to make some... Because everybody has something to contribute.
Nothing this evening, but maybe next year.
Ah, please, indulge us. We'll come around and get you and have, and think of something, because everybody has something to contribute. And we can't maintain our diversity without encouraging everybody to speak.
I appreciate that.
So please indulge us.
You know the drill.
Well, I just like to thank everyone just for being here, and I'm really happy to be a part of the group again.
Yeah, give me your name.
Shaina Terrell.
Okay.
And I'm here just listening. I work for Councilmember Tommy Wells, which he actually is Ward 6, and he's also the chair of the Committee on Human Services. And so not necessarily connected to Ward 1, except to the extent that obviously we have oversight over agencies that would serve Ward 1 residents. But I'm here just to be part of the community and to listen to the work.
Well, perhaps you have some ideas about the Mount Pleasant district that you can throw out. They don't have to be great ones, but mostly interested in getting other perspectives.
Well, I haven't read yet the plan that, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Tariq.
I haven't read yet the plan that Tariq says is on the UCGov website. It sounds really interesting. I know one thing that it sounds really interesting to me when he's like going through the community on a lunchtime basis. I think that's important for the businesses and that kind of thing. Obviously, we all know kind of what we don't want. It's a little harder to articulate what we do want. I certainly wouldn't want to see Mount Pleasant become another Chinatown, where Chinatown had so much flavor and had so many different businesses, and then over the years it became more popular as the rents went higher. The businesses that were unique to Chinatown, they essentially, I think, were priced out, and were kind of a big chain moved in, so that now Chinatown isn't necessarily a true Chinatown, but kind of all the national chains just have their names and signs in Chinese. And so it would be great if Mount Pleasant could maintain exactly what makes it the jewel that it is. However that happens, obviously it will take all of our input to get there, but so far what you said sounds interesting. So I'm just here to learn a little bit more about all of that.
Well, thank you. That's almost 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Chris Nellingham, and given my background, I was mostly interested in the Green Street aspect of your plan. I spent a lot of time reviewing it, and I think it seems to me that there is a lot of opportunity to take this idea of a Green Street and move it beyond just street trees, which there obviously seem to be some problems with. I think that one thing that sets Mount Pleasant apart from a lot of the neighborhoods in D.C. is those wonderful solar co-ops. I think we already have that going for us. And I think if we think more broadly and more innovatively, what does it mean to be a green street? Could we be a cutting-edge green main street? I think that would really distinguish Mount Pleasant from some of the other retail options. So.
The general rule is less than 30 seconds to make an important clarification.
Okay. Yeah, one of the reasons why we wanted to keep it broad was this is new for us as well. The concept of a green street is something that hasn't been done. It's been done on some residential streets, and the idea of doing this on a commercial strip is very new. And so we like the idea, but we did want to keep the options open, because it's not just street trees, it's also about stormwater management. It's also about how the street is clean and how the businesses are, how trash is taken out, how the streets are maintained, a lot of that stuff. That's why there's a lot of information there about cleaning and greening the street as well. But we freely admit that we're open to innovations that the community can provide on how to implement those ideas, because this is new territory for us as well. We just feel like it can be very beneficial for Mount Pleasant Street. But implementation, we're very much in a good boat.
And I know that one of your suggestions was creating a small business guide, is that right? With building ideas. So there are so many environmental subsidies and incentives that could be included in that meeting.
That's one of the things that we've got out of the business community themselves is Mount Pleasant has a lot of layers of regulation. VAs, historic district, changing DCRA regulations, environmental opportunities. And not only, it's enough if you're a native English speaker to sort through all of that, but I can only imagine if English is your second language. So that's one of the reasons why we recommended creating a Mount Pleasant street-specific business manual that will really help businesses here navigate a lot of those processes.
So it's my turn, and starting the clock on myself. Let me offer another perspective. The ANC 1D resolution that called, that asked for a study, was directed more at the residents in Eastern Mount Pleasant, with the idea that the merchants are important because they serve the residents. They are not an end unto themselves. The study, as it comes out, and I haven't read the latest draft because my computer gets messed up every time I try to do it. So perhaps you can email it to me and I can post it on the ANC1D website. So people can get at it easily. The discussion was more, as you heard, was much more about the merchants on the street, which is not at all the main focus of the, it's a subsidiary focus of the 1D resolution. And we never got a dialogue going about the differences in what they wanted to do and what the ANC asked for. For me, there are a couple of really big issues here. One is that to maintain the funky diversity that people have been writing about is what makes for an exciting neighborhood. Jane Jacobs wrote about it in the 1920s. I can go through a long list of people that have written about this. The key is you got to keep the rents low. And the latest rents here are $45 and $49 a foot, triple net, which means that you've got to sell a lot of salt, fat, and water to get sweets as high turnover items for many of the businesses. So they are caught almost like sharecroppers trying to maintain themselves. So we really want to protect them because that helps serve the residents as well. But the residents die typically, my neighbors at least, serve the area to the east, died mostly 20 years too young and in a lot of pain. And there are studies on why that happens and we should do something about it. That's not addressed in any of these studies. If current trends occur, if we maintain ourselves on the main sequence of the neighborhood cycle, which has about 65 to 75 year cycle, slow increase, then in crash, it's down. Then there's homogenization and you'll lose all of that. To maintain it, you've got to maintain the diversity of population, and that means that there are somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people that were 5 years ago in affordable housing or workable housing. And they're all going to disappear unless we do something about it. My estimate is that there's about $1.2 billion of zoning relief, even if we only take a moderate path, not high density, but something like in Bethesda where you start with 10, 12 stories at 17th Street and come down to 5. And that would provide us with the money to renew these fire cracks of buildings that are very dangerous. And at the same time, be able to get cheaper rent for workforce housing for people that are just going to work here and for business development. And that's a way to go into another path of development and get off the main sequence. So, as a futurist, as a professional futurist, it's not my role to tell people what their future should be, but to go out and to find what are proven practices that other people have found to solve these problems and to make them aware of it, or to help them gain awareness of it. And so it's clear that we have proven practices and we have the money from other practices, so that if we chose to do so, we could do something very different. And I'm afraid that the way that we are being recorded today doesn't work. And by the way, there have been, just to clarify things, there have been two approaches to responsible hospitality. The ANC had one approach 3 years ago, and we have one from Main Street more recently. And the two haven't talked with each other. Thank you.
Well, I just have a couple of points that I want to bring up tonight. As far as the planning for the Mount Pleasant area, I feel the same way that Evelyn feels. I feel that this area now only represents one or two and a half cultures. The other ones have just gone by the wayside. And I'm speaking from an elementary age because I've lived in this community. The first school I went to was John Quincy Adams, and we were half American and half Spanish at the time when I was going to the school. So at any rate, there's always been a mixture of people here and cultures and what have you. But I think when the last time I saw everybody represented, I was 15. We won't even go into how old I am now. Let's just say it's been a long time since it represented everybody who lives here. Some of the older constituents of mine feel that there's nothing here for seniors. Nothing is directed for them. None of these businesses offer a senior discount at any time. They can't go to any of the restaurants, and at least $1 or $2 is taken off the menu for the seniors. They also feel that they don't have an adequate place to sit when they come into the area. And I was letting them know that that is in the plan, to be able to put some seating on the street so they could do what they used to do and sit out on the street and communicate with the store owner, who would go into their business and bring them out a cup of coffee and a donut at no charge. Community things like that they feel are missing. It's all about the money up here now. Not so much about everybody working together, but it's about 90,000 different community organizations, and the only time they saw them working together is when we had the big snow. So they're feeling that way. And also, there are people who don't realize that as the seasons change, things change. So like, if you're going to be directing entertainment in a social environment, then that too should be inclusive of everybody. You know, I'm constantly getting that, well, you've been there so long and that still hasn't changed. And I'm like, well, I don't even think it's going to change. I've never seen anyone offering to change it. I don't have what is possibly needed to bring this. I don't know if that's, I've never seen any of that inclusive of the area planning as well. So I would like to see more inclusive. Now, I know three people for sure that came to this area, tried to inquire about some of the vacant areas. Of course, the real estate was too high. And the second thing was they felt that they weren't welcome in the community, so they didn't get honest answers to. One lady has three child care centers, and she came up here and stayed for a week. And she felt that a child care would be a wonderful thing in this area. But when she pursued it, the price that she said that they have really lost their mind. I'm bringing something to them that they need. So then the other person came, and they were trying to be a landscaping business for small homeowners who have aged and can no longer take care of their lawns. He has a senior program, if you will. Like if he comes to this person's house and it's $25 to do their front and back lawn, it's only like $5 for a senior. Just so the senior's home can be kept up, you know, in the neighborhood, things like that. So, and there was one other person that bought another business. So it's not that people aren't coming and trying, but they're not meeting any welcome to when they come.
Yes, it's to say, but
the area
present. In my opinion, I think one thing is missing. Present doesn't have that cultural center. And I was thinking if, you know, the library could be converted as a huge cultural center where, you know, the community wants to perform some cultural activities there, and keep the small library as the library to be, because how many people actually go to the library these days to, you know, to read and so forth. So this library is just sufficient for Mount Pleasant if that the main library is converted into a huge cultural center. It would be really, really great for Mount Pleasant area.
Fascinating.
Please put forward a resolution on that. I'll support it.
Jack.
You mentioned concern about people not knowing that Mount Pleasant is here, being unable to not come here because they don't know that it's here. And yet, one of the results of that contracting study was that Mount Pleasant wasn't going to be in a good position to compete for people coming from businesses. That Mount Pleasant should focus on its primary market area, which the people who live within walking distance. Mm-hmm. And one of the critical points there was that two-thirds of the households in that primary market area don't own cars. So they're really dependent on Mount Pleasant businesses. So it seems to me we should be asking the question, are the people in this primary marketing area patronizing Mount Pleasant businesses? And if not, why not? And I would love to hear from Evelyn, because you're in kind of a crossover zone. How many people in your apartment building do their shopping on Mount Pleasant Street as opposed to going the other direction and doing their shopping in Columbia Heights? And if they're not coming here, what are the reasons why they're not coming here?
Short answer won't come out of this time, so.
Okay. I can really answer that, but I want everyone to take it in the spirit that I'm going to give it, just out of the goodness of my heart. We have a population in our building that's Hispanic, that's shopping Best Borough, and that's shopping Progresso, that frequent Heidi's. But the majority of the people who are white or black go over to 14th Street. They go to Giant, they go down to Harris Teeter. They go to Commonwealth, they go to the Heights, or they go to Target. A few go to Heights. I'm a Heights girl. A few go to Heights. So it sort of depends on the demographic, the race, the culture, the education level. And so it's sort of split. You said I'm on the sort of on the cusp, and so it is. You have half of some here and half of some. And the reason why the other half doesn't come here, which is part of your question, and we did a big study on that when we started our English as second language classes, and we found that the people who speak primarily Spanish could navigate Best World better than they could Giant. Because of the Spanish-speaking staff. And if the people who speak English wanted the better deals than Giant, Safeway, and Harris Teeter offer, because the prices are better and the quality of the food is better.
I think that's a gold mine of information if we can follow up on that, because there are plenty of people who live in the immediate area, and if they shop here, I think our businesses would do just fine. But if they're going up to 14th Street, DC USA, or Adams Morgan, that's a lot of lost revenue.
Yeah. Can I have a second? Like the number one goal we had was to strengthen existing businesses, which was primarily focused on bringing the people who live in Mount Pleasant, all of Mount Pleasant, to patronize Mount Pleasant and work on it. One of our main recommendations was to install the Shop Mount Pleasant events, getting people typically west of 17th Street to come here to be able to really understand what's here, to kind of organize with the community groups to say, let's not just go to Heller's, but let's go to some of these other businesses. And the second one about attracting customers, let me clarify, we do mean the people who are within walking distance of Mount Pleasant, within a half mile to a mile radius of Mount Pleasant as far as attracting consumers. What we're finding is people who do live in Columbia Heights, who live in Adams Morgan, people who even live a little bit north on 16th Street, aren't coming here, aren't aware of what is offered here. And then once someone, through word of mouth, or even by accident, gives them knowledge of Mount Pleasant, they find that it is something that they would like to patronize. And we feel it's important to figure out, how do we get some of these people who may not even realize what's there to be able to come over here and understand what Mount Pleasant Street has to offer.
I think we should be paying more attention to what Evelyn had to say, because I think that a lot of potential patrons within walking distance aren't coming here, and we ought to find a way to fix that.
I wish I had time to refute most everything you said. But
I'd like to follow along from starting from Evelyn, Andrew, Greg, and Jack about the diversity of the population. In this discussion, we would call it the customer base, of course. And I have just been shocked to find out that in the row houses, even in my area, there are several houses owned by three, four generations of African-American families that are threatened because of taxes. And I'm going to try to look into that, and Tariq's going to help me with that. But Coram Scott came here because she wanted to talk a little bit about that. This is a paper. Is this your father? Took along the block, telling his plight to his neighbors, saying, you did see his name, saying that they needed by September a certain amount of money in taxes, or they're going to lose their property. So I'm going to investigate this further, but this is maintaining and growing our customer base. The apartments, the affordable housing, whether it's rental or ownership, you see. We need to be sensitive to it, and we need to find out what the city can do to help these people. There are, I'm told there are things, there's things that are done in Anacostia, and maybe we can do some of that here. Tariq is going to, did you want to say anything or not?
I can speak a little bit, but I'm just a very emotional person, so I'm trying to get too emotional. But I can help myself, but it's just something so deep when you know something that's deep in your life, it's deep in your heart, and you're more like you're an American person, and you believe in America so deep, and you know that your grandfather worked on the railroad, and you know that the Mount Pleasant buses drop them off everyone and go to work. And if you know your father lived in your grandfather's house, and then I'm living in my grandfather's house, and I was keeping like, I'm like, this is my grandfather's house, this is what my grandfather did. I'm like, I live there, and I'm like, I'm saying to myself, I'm a union worker, I'm a painter, but I can't even get a union job today. You know, and it's like, I worked so hard to keep my family home, and due to my illness, I wasn't able to keep being able to work to carry the family so we can all, we still live together, and we're trying to hold on to our home, but it's just, I can't hardly sleep at night. I can't, like I'm thinking about, every dime I have, I don't even want to pay any bills right now. All I want to do is be able to have money for taxes, you know? It's like when you live somewhere, and it's like, everybody want their home, and it's like when you get hurt or just something, then somebody worked hard, and then the next person working hard, and the next person working hard. And all of a sudden, you're getting this tax thing that's driving you so far out of your own house. It's like, where do you go? What are you supposed to do? Because I don't know these answers. Nobody never taught me anything about this, you know. I have little old ladies who've been on my street. I grew up in 1964. I have no old lady neighbors living on my street in Mount Pleasant, down in Kenny. They worry just as much as me, saying, well, what are we going to do about our taxes? What are we, these little old ladies who live, this is their home, they've been, this is home. And it's just,
home, you know, I feel home so deeply because it's real short. I'm waiting on my 3 minute bus stop. My home is so deep because my first time I was able to travel and go to another country and come back on American soil to say I'm here, I'm home, and to be escorted through the airport to say, you home, we're gonna make sure you get, you made it back to America safe. And they made sure that I got, like I was escorted. Like, we got you home safe. Relax, lady, rest your mind. You are here, you know? And then one other thing, real short. It was just so honored at church yesterday, the man that each and every person knows, wherever you are from, you chose to come here to America. This is your home now. So you celebrate Memorial Day. You celebrate 4th of July. This is our home. It's not just a black person home or white person. This is all of our home. But if you get driven out of your home, it's like, dang, I gotta go back to Jamaica so I can have a roof over my head. That's all. I'm just gonna cut it off because I don't want to go any further. But it's just, I just want to be able to sleep in my grandfather's. Whatever I have to do, I just want to sleep. Where I've been sleeping at all my life.
So you can see we have a new project. Jerry's gonna help us out.
I've had over 1,000 members. I know of that have gone through this.
You go ahead.
Yes, mostly from the rental staff.
So, rental, yes.
But, and I personally, and the group I'm in, is in a similar shape. Don't know if we can pull it off. Sir, your name?
I'm Joe Carey. Okay, so my background is in strategy and management consulting, and a lot of it's really sort of high level and conceptual, but I became interested in doing something a lot more local, practical, and meaningful. So I'm interested in things like employment or urban development or business development or avoiding foreclosure, things like that, like education issues. And my idea is to try to introduce some of the same strategy and management consulting frameworks on a local level. And the issues that we're talking about, I'm interested in. I haven't done that much research. And I live a few blocks from here. I don't spend that much time here. But it seems like the information and the research is there. But I think that after I've taken a look at it, or I've participated in a group that's somehow getting involved around here, I would know a lot more and be able to make a lot more suggestions.
You're welcome to call me. I've been trying to put the two worlds together myself. Tariq, if I may be so bold, and my colleagues have no hesitation to correct me. It seems to me that the five commissioners wrote the request to the Office of Planning for help. Essentially focused upon people that live here and their survivability and their quality of life. Are raising the issue of that improving the cheapness or prosperity of the merchants in the commercial strip is not what we had in mind. It's not what our priority is. It's not what we think the main problem for Mount Pleasant is. So you have, I think you've heard here, a contrast between what the locals, the democratically elected locals, think are the main priorities in the province, and what your consultants have thought of the main problems.
Actually, it seems to be the same. It's not that this is a plan for the merchants. This is a plan for the commercial strip that serves the residents, as you have stated. And this plan is primarily focused on listening to what the residents have said would best serve them, and how we can do our best to put resources towards doing what's in the best interest of serving them. The original resolution that was sent asked for a lot of activities that are out of the preview of the Office of Planning. I cannot do anything about affordable housing. I wish I could, but I cannot. I wish I could put rental caps on 16th Street, rental housing to ensure that people have the opportunity to remain in the community, but I cannot. I wish I had the opportunity to rezone the entire strip, but this is a historic district and there are limits to what can be done. I do not have the ability or the authority to change that. Therefore, what we understood what we said, and at the very beginning of this process, we let you know we have the ability to make a strong difference in the commercial strip that will serve the residents. We tend to believe that in this day and age, entrepreneurship is a way for the residents of this community to have the opportunities to move forward. The number of the people that live in this community have stated to us they cannot get the types of goods and services that they get here anywhere else. They have a hard time, and we don't want to see them have to travel far away to be able to buy things that they can only buy here. There are a number of people who love Hades restaurants who have told me that it feels like going home for a few minutes at a time. We can't allow that to go away. So that is what the focus of this revitalization is, to really say that these businesses are valuable not only to the residents but to the city as a whole. And we feel that it's something that needs to be preserved and it should prosper. I have no problem with saying I believe the businesses and the residents should prosper in this area, and it is our job to do everything that we can to make that happen. It's not that we don't feel that the issues that were pointed out originally were important. It's not that we didn't feel like it. And then there were in the early drafts of this plan, I spoke a lot about affordable housing, maintaining it, doing things. The reality was, I have no ability to affect that. These are privately owned buildings. These Section 8 units are owned by private individuals. Their ability to opt out is their choice. The system itself, the affordable housing system itself on a national level, is somewhat broken. And I'm sure we're all aware of that. When you have a system where it's up to the landlord to determine if he's going to remain affordable, you have a problem. But we cannot make somebody keep an affordable unit. We actually did the research. There are not as many publicly owned housing units in this area. There are very few publicly owned housing units in this area. I was surprised because of the amount.
Can you provide us with that research? On some
Give me some time. I can get it to you. The actual numbers of publicly owned. Yeah, I can get it to you.
That's one of the things that would really help us all. Everybody here wants to know what the status is, and you've gone through a very expensive and extensive exercise. So, and before you had said to our ANC's request for more of your information. Perhaps now.
That was something that was outside, but I can get you that.
Perhaps now you can be.
Let him talk.
Okay.
And we have, DHCD keeps records of how much the city actually owns and how much affordable housing is in the area. And the amount is extremely small. And those are not the ones that are threatened of being changed and converted. It's the privately owned.
Yes.
And I was amazed at how much privately owned affordable housing in the market has pushed in another direction.
Sure.
And that is a bigger issue beyond our ability.
Until we come back to you so you can keep going.
Sure.
But I want to personally say that you gave a clear, concise, and heartfelt answer. And I think everybody benefited from hearing these reasons stated in summary. Again, thank you for rising to the challenge.
I just wanted to make it clear that it's not that we didn't want to do it, but we didn't care. We realized that after our meetings, our public meetings, the community really, really was very adamant about the need for the preservation of affordable housing. I took that back. We did the research and we found, wow, this is all private. A lot of those big buildings that you see, even the Deauville that burned down, was privately owned. So the city doesn't have the ability, because the Section 8 and a lot of these programs are federal programs. They're not even city programs.
Yes, but so that we can move on. Unless the ANC objects, I promise to put all the stuff that you, all the studies and everything, set a separate page, and deliver these things so that everybody can get access to these things.
But one thing I would like to say that I did get out of this evening is I am interested. I'm glad to hear you spoke about the seniors. And even though we had that demographic in mind, I'm looking at how we can perhaps, maybe there are some things we can tweak that can go a little bit further to help someone with seniors in the area. It's not that we didn't think about it, but maybe I need to look a little bit more about what specifically would be something that benefits that population. Because we do see this, let me not say this over and over again, but it's true, this is one of the most unique places in the city. Gallery Place was a good example of, Gallery Place is like the 42nd Street of D.C., but reality, you can go to Tyson's Corner, you can go to Alexandria, you're not going to get anything. Legal seafood, you can go anywhere. There are places here that you're not going to get anywhere else. And we feel like this is something that we have to preserve, and we feel like there's an opportunity here for people to prosper. The details are what we intend to work on from now over the next 10 years, you know, with this plan. It doesn't just end. It's not like this thing gets adopted and I leave. You know, one of the things we put in, we have 20 kickoff actions that are in the plan. There are things that will be completed within the first 12 months of adoption. So if the plan gets adopted in September, between September 2010 and September 2011, there are going to be 20 things we're going to be trying to do.
Send me those things and I will post them.
Oh, they're attended to the...
But I will tell you that I, not only I, but many others find it difficult to get hold of them.
Okay.
Let me move on. Bill has not had much of a chance.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who's come out. I think that... You know, I've been on the ANC for at least a little time. I think that it's probably correct to say that I have been not as engaged in trying to help disabled in this community for as long as a lot of people in this room. So I think that it's great that we're able to come together and we're able to talk about issues that are important to us. Certainly, we all bring together different perspectives. I can't think of the last time it ever occurred to me that seniors don't get a discount at neighborhood restaurants. I think about seniors very often, it's just my perspective. You know, there are probably things that I think about that other people never cross their mind. So that's what these meetings are all about. It's coming together, sharing our perspectives, trying to find common ground. And there are lots of different things. The ANC is not the only place that things happen. And the work that Adams Group does, the large number of meetings that Tariq's group has put together, have really given voice to a lot of perspectives that don't often come to these meetings. And the same thing is true with Evelyn's. With Evelyn's group, she's really been able to give voice to people that we haven't heard from. I don't think I'd ever met anybody from her home before she started coming to these meetings. So, in my mind, if we talk about how are we going to improve Mount Pleasant, how are we going to increase the Mount Pleasantness of Mount Pleasant, it's coming to meetings like this, and it's engaging with one another and listening to one another. But I think it also has to evolve from where we're just sharing our perspective to where we're starting to collaborate more, where we're starting to work together more productively, more efficiently, more respecting the inputs and engagements of different people. And I think that the ANC is uniquely empowered within the district structure to enable that. And you know, as we look forward to November and as we look forward to the new year, I think that we really need to be thinking about how we want this ANC to take its unique position within the neighborhood and leverage all the talents and perspectives that are within the neighborhood. You know, I see this plan that we have with OP is providing a blueprint for the next 10 years. That's great. How many neighborhoods in D.C. don't have a blueprint? I see Adam's group, who's been able to go out and bring substantial resources that are available to any other neighborhood in the city to bring them here. And we've got to foster that. We've got to nurture that.
got to take advantage of that. I think, you know, when you talk about office planning, you talk about volunteer agreements, there are lots of details that people get caught up in. And I think, you know, Mario, you had a great point where we try and work together and we try and accommodate all the different perspectives. And that ends up producing something that is, for lack of a better term, very average, as opposed to exceptional. And I think that was the true failure of that summit, in a lot of ways, is that we bent over backwards to accommodate a particular perspective. But it was in the interest of trying to get things done. And I think we all recognize that we need to put our shoulder down again, work hard at it again. The concepts that are behind it are sound. It's just a matter of making sure that we don't get caught up in the details that pull everybody apart. So, you know, I encourage you to go back to your neighborhood groups and encourage them to get involved and to do things. We need people to be engaged. We need people to be active. So, thank you, Bobby. It's so important for us to hear what your ideas are, because those are things that spark action.
5 minutes.
I have 5 minutes? Oh, I took 5 minutes.
Yes. Adam.
I'm going to get you to go around again.
Yeah,
I'm going to use this as my exit call. I just wanted to give everyone a chance to speak. I actually have to go home. But I wanted to thank everyone for coming tonight. I learned a lot tonight, and in particular, the comment about the seniors I thought was in particular interesting from a business promotion perspective. By all means, we'll work with business associations and business centers to see if they have special offers or hours of operation or offers, accommodations for seniors, and we'll promote those in our business directory and our online directories. The comments more than you made earlier regarding the RHI process are completely understandable, and to Phil's point, you know, we're trying to engage everyone, try to make it work, and we understand where the tough spots are. So we still want to work. You know, we've always supported you all, and we want to continue to do that. We're hoping to put some structure around that and not just have it be everybody running, you know, everyone doing their own thing. So we can try to make a fair system for everybody. And then, you know, finally, housing and taxes are surely an issue for residents and on the commercial side. That's something we have to work with before we go on. And then to Phil's point, making sure that we all communicate with each other and that we trust each other and that we leverage the knowledge and the passion in this community is extremely important. The point that I always say is that community development is not a competition, it's a team sport. So we should be working together, helping each other out, and really leveraging all of our assets.
Thank you. Evelyn.
I get to say more?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or ask questions or make comments?
Well,
or?
I'll just say stories sort of played off me after that. And that is, what some of the comments that we made about moving to the project was about the seniors. So we need to think about special hours for the seniors. Because as of yet, it's not safe for a senior to be on the street after a certain hour, after nine. Or even during rush hour. They'll get my mother visit me frequently. And she came back to my cousin and she said, "Oh, just so many people on the street. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go." So we need to make it safe for our seniors to feel like that. They not only, see, our seniors built this community. Yeah. And we forget that. They made it so that we could be here. And so now we kind of push them to the side. So we need to make it safe for them, whether that means we have organized volunteers who stand on various corners or intersections
to help them navigate. But whatever it is, we really need to work together. And I'm happy that this meeting has turned out to be such a wonderful forum tonight. This is one of the best ANC meetings I think I've attended in a long time. I quit talking, I got tired of the fighting, but and the negativity. But to see everyone talking and saying, this is what we want, how can we work together to get it? No one opinion is better than the other opinion. You know, and how can we make that happen? And I just want to give a big round of applause to Tariq, because I think he has done an amazing, excellent job of trying to listen to us, trying to incorporate what we thought. He's had so many meetings. He's taken the time to have the translation that was necessary, even down to the most remote translation, not this Hispanic, but Chinese, Vietnamese, whatever was needed. And I think that we need to give him and his office a big round of applause, because I have not seen this kind of cooperation from D.C. government in a long time. He has maintained grace and dignity, and he continues to listen even now. And I think we should be really, really feeling blessed that we have someone who is listening to us. The way he responded to you, Greg, with definitive answers, not just mishmash. You know, something that you can really take home and say, okay, I got it. Now tell me where I need to go. You know, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. To be from 3156 Residents Association, we thank you.
Thank you. Now, Mario.
Okay.
And by the way, to the people that held out before, your time is coming, and we expect for you not just to be takers, but also givers.
But it's no pressure. You don't know.
No, okay. Absolutely no pressure.
Secret.
So the volunteer.
So I think I tell you.
Oh, I know.
afford it, you know, so.
Well, we just only can put assignments at a time.
It's special to know that we do have the discounts secretly. We cannot promote it.
My.
Okay. Isn't that terrible?
It is, but I'll pass it on.
I have a comment about your property taxes. I think they have a, I'm not sure before March or May, you can apply and they can do a study again about the property to lower the taxes. If you, I have someone who work on those kind of cases, I will give you my number in case you get a complicated in September to property, can I be in tax sale next June? Because if you don't pay in September, next June they put the property tax sale for whatever you owe. But you have the right to apply for, they call homestead or deduction.
Homestead.
So somebody specialist can explain to you.
Yeah, we're going to look into that.
Yeah, I will give you my number in case you get complicated.
I'm out of order.
It's John,
but let me mention that renters indirectly pay 50% higher tax rate than house owners.
Yes.
It is just hidden.
Yes.
It's not hidden.
Well, yeah, it is hidden.
It's hidden. No, because I just left a meeting 2 days ago.
Well, what we're saying is that the renters don't realize it's a lease tax.
Okay.
With 50% higher. And there's no longevity deduction, which is equivalent to that. I approached Jack Evans to do something about it. He referred me to an assistant, who referred me to an assistant, and they said that if our agency came up with a comprehensive study, a resolution, that they would consider it. We need help from the city other than
this same situation happened in Anacostia. I was just going to find out what they did there. Same situation. Seniors losing their houses, the tax went up, and they were able to keep it. It was a historic district, just like here. It was almost same situation. So I'm just going to find out what happened there. Because they were able to do it. I mean, I'm sure there was some politics involved, but I just want to know what happened. Because it was a big thing, and then they had a historic homeowner's tax credit. They started having the homestead and stuff. Like, they did a lot to be able to do it. So it seems like there's no reason why it can't be replicated here. So I just got to figure out what was done there, and then how it can be applied here.
Excuse me for introducing it, but it seems to be really critical to our considerations. And you go to the city and everybody says it's not my domain, and they and yet this is something that really affects 10,000 people here.
Yeah.
And we need to look at it.
A lot of times it's...
I'm delaying so you can get yourself ready.
Yeah. A lot of times it's loopholes that people don't know about. And of course, the city is very bad about promoting its own policies. So, you know, we'll just do some digging, see what comes.
85% of people here live in apartments. Your turn.
Yeah. I think I just, you know, I'm a complete outsider, but I just had two ideas as listening. I think one of the areas that possibly has been overlooked, and I think about it in my personal life, as we talk particularly about shopping, not as much about dining, but seems to me that, and I'm not sure the exact demographics of Point Pleasant, but it seems to me a lot of younger renters live here. And I shop online because they deliver it right to my door, and it saves me time. And so I don't know how that fits into the overall plan, but it's an increasing trend with business people. Almost everyone in my office and almost every executive I know has their groceries delivered. You know, that says something more about society necessarily than the way neighborhood, but I think that's something that's important to focus on as we become a more web-based society, something to think about. And I don't know if there's conveniences that the local stores can provide in terms of maybe putting together someone's common grocery list, you know, and they just have to swing by and grab it on the way home. There may be a way to address those things to kind of streamline the models like you find online. My other general idea was and I appreciate what you guys were saying about, you know, obviously the majority of your business is going to come from this area. But I think with the Obama administration coming the office, one of the things that's probably unique about DC is, you know, DC is a transient city. And so people are always moving in and moving out, and I would assume a great majority of those people also live in Point Pleasant. You know, but also the type of people that this administration has brought in a really young and vibrant type of person who really appreciates a lot of culture. And I really appreciated what you said about when you, you know, I've been in D.C. for 2 years, but I still go online to look for opportunities all the time. And I think that Mount Pleasant's kind of a hidden jewel for a lot of reasons. And it's not necessarily that you want to, like, turn on the, you know, Christmas lights and have everyone come here, because I think, in effect, that would ruin it as well. But I think also you do want a little promotion with that, where the young kids who are living in Columbia Heights right now in U Street, which are the most popular areas, they are coming over on Friday and Saturday nights to enjoy mariachi and pupusas and those types of things. Because to be honest with you, they don't know it's here. You know, and it's not that we, you know, want, you know, but we do want them to be able to enjoy it. So I think there should be some type of opportunity to be reaching out to other parts of the city. And just to be quite honest with you, Mount Pleasant's hard to get to. I know it doesn't sound like it is because it's really only 3 blocks from the Columbia Heights Metro. But when China told me she was moving here, I was like, well, how are we going to get to you? You know, that's the first thought that comes to people's mind, living in a city where a lot of people don't have cars. And whether that's true or not, I think that those are some of the challenges that, you know, that I see on the forefront. This is an outstanding thing, so take what you can from it.
You see, as the screws are put on, you do an excellent job.
Absolutely. This is it.
You've been hiding.
I think from my perspective, I guess I really would like to encourage more of a partnership, if you will, with my council member, because my council member's platform isn't always has been a livable, walkable community, and this year it's a livable, walkable city. So just in terms of carrying his vision of making sure that our neighborhoods are pedestrian-oriented, that you have all of your modern conveniences and the things that you need to live and to grow and to age in place, even within, you know, your 2 or 3 block radius or what have you, my council member strongly supports that, and that is a huge part of his agenda citywide, not just for Ward 6. And so my council member is the champion of the streetcar on the DC City Council. You know, my council member, along with Jim Graham, obviously. And so I think that he's probably someone that you would want to be a co-sponsor or co-supporter of many of the initiatives that I think would improve our community and keep, in a sense, its historic charm fresh. And so I know that Jim Graham, obviously, is our Ward 1 council member, but just know that Council Member Tommy Wells, that his platform is a livable and walkable city. So if it has something to do with smart growth, with aging in place, with, you know, pedestrian, with, you know, making neighborhoods pedestrian oriented, this kind of a thing, then I think that you probably would find a supporter in him. So that's one thing. The second thing is just in terms of keeping people engaged and bringing more people out so that we have even more diverse representation. A lot of is the one finite thing that we have. If we lose it, we can't replace it. And so I don't know, but for example, maybe our informal meetings would be shorter, because when people know that they're coming out, and like, I love these meetings always end on time, because it makes me feel so much more comfortable coming, because I know they know that it ends no matter what exactly at 9, and it starts no matter what exactly at 7. I really appreciate that about this ANC, and I know that not all of the ANCs are that way. And so with other friends and colleagues, even at the council, I said, no, you know, my ANC is definitely from 7 to 9. There's none of this up until midnight business. I mean, they handle the business within the time allotted, and then they carry over to the next meeting, which is appropriate, and it makes me feel good to commit to come. And I wonder if we committed, for example, even to the informal meetings to a shorter period of time, for example, just an hour and a half, or, you know, if it's an informal meeting, even like an hour and 15 minutes just for us to kind of come together and share our thoughts if we already went around once. I wonder if that's not helpful, and it will help us draw in more people who know that they're not committing to 2 hours of time every single 2 weeks. Because if we do an hour and a half every 2 weeks, that's still a lot of time, you know, because we do meet every 2 weeks.
Even though
I know one meeting is informal and the other is formal. So that's just something to consider, because I know that, and here's an example, and then I'll be quiet. But at the church that I used to attend in Minneapolis, because even on from inside the Beltway, like I lived in Minneapolis for 10 years, as soon as the pastor said, you know what, we're going to have shorter services, And we're dropping our service from 2 hours, and we're going to 1.5 hours. Instead of preaching for 40 minutes, I'm preaching for 25. We're going to do one less song, and we're going to like cut down the announcements. His attendance increased like as soon as that happened. Because people feel good about coming to short periods of time, so they can get in and participate, and then they still have more time for themselves, for their families, to go home to make dinner, or to just have decompression time. So I just want to put that out there. I know I've seen it work within the context of churches, in terms of their membership increasing and people feeling more willing to engage when the services are short. And I wonder if that also would be the case for our political communities.
I'll just reiterate that I'm interested in working with the community and bringing DC Greenworks into the community to work on its green things.
Tommy and all of you, and I'll try to refer you to people you can work with. Anything else you'd like to say?
That's it. Thank you.
I think it's a good time to declare this as a successful meeting and go home.
Yeah, it works for me.
Good. Is there a... I've been preparing my notes for my next few minutes, but I'll give it up. And but is there a... Can I see a show of hands of people who would like to end it now?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's not much.